Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 12th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
attorneys for Donald Trump present arguments in the former president's impeachment trial.
A House committee approves $1,400 payments to millions of Americans.
President Biden says there's enough supply to vaccinate all Americans by July.
And the White House makes plans to stem the global shortage of computer chips.
Indoor dining resumes today in New York City. Plus, there's word President Trump was sicker with COVID than the public thought. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A loss for the Islanders and an outbreak has caused the Australian Open to keep out the fans.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are lower as we head into the final trading day of the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 63, NASDAQ futures down 22, the DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.15%, yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.8% or 43 cents at $57.81 a barrel. Amy.
Karen, we begin with the latest in the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. The prosecution has wrapped up its case. Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware says the hundreds of video clips taken during the Capitol riot revealed how harrowing things were that day.
Many of us in the Senate didn't realize just how close an angry, violent mob came to harming Vice President Pence, to harming Speaker Pelosi, to attacking each of us individually.
Republicans say they will not comment on the trial until after they hear all of the evidence from both sides. But they say Democrats made a compelling case. Republican Bill Cassidy of Louisiana.
They've done very well. I think that's generally conceded. And I think everybody looks forward to see how the president's defense team will do.
Now, former President Trump's defense team will make their case. In today's arguments, lawyer David Schoen says they'll show how the president did not incite the riot because he mentioned being peaceful and patriotic during his speech on January 6th.
It's a powerful speech, but when he uses the word fight most of the times during the case, it's clear he's talking about legislators fighting for our rights, people fighting to advocate. And everyone likes to overlook the word peacefully in there.
After the House managers concluded their arguments, Schoen met for about an hour with several Republican senators. The defense expects the trial to be over by tomorrow.
Conventional wisdom says there won't be enough votes to convict the former president, and that includes Senator Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the chamber.
I really don't see that kind of commitment on the other side. Luckily, we had one senator join us, Senator Cassidy from Louisiana, who brought the number to six that apparently have seriously considered the impeachment. But, of course, we need 11 more.
Durbin spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the show's weekday at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And while the impeachment trial is taking the spotlight in Washington, there is progress on the stimulus front. A House committee has approved $1,400 payments to millions of Americans. Those checks would be part of President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. The panel also okayed tax credits for children that will be mailed out on a monthly basis.
As the stimulus push continues, President Biden is also making progress on the vaccine front. He says the U.S. has finished deals for 100 million additional doses, each from Pfizer and Moderna. And that means there's enough supply to vaccinate all Americans.
We're now on track to have enough supply for 300 million Americans by the end of July.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 48 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
At the same time, the Biden administration is working to address the global semiconductor shortage that's caused problems or production halts across industries. Bloomberg White House editor Alex Wayne says the administration has come under pressure to act.
There is an executive order on supply chains in the works, but we're told that's not going to be ready for a couple of weeks. A lot of industry folks are saying the White House needs to move much faster. General Motors is idling production and plants all over the U.S. and in other countries right now because they don't have enough chips to put brains in their cars. So this is an actual problem for jobs.
The White House says they're identifying choke points in supply chains and discussing an immediate path forward with businesses and trading partners.
Turning to foreign relations now, we're learning more about how China hacked and exploited U.S. tech suppliers for years. It's part of a Bloomberg News exclusive investigation released this hour. We get details now from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
In 2018, we told you how Beijing hackers added malicious chips to servers from Supermicrocomputer. Now, our investigation shows the company and others had been the target of such attacks for years. In 2010, the Department of Defense found thousands of Supermicro servers sending military data to China. In 2014, Intel discovered Chinese hackers breached its network through a single server thanks to malware from a supplier. And in 2015, the FBI warned multiple companies that Chinese operatives had concealed extra chips in one manufacturer's servers. Each of these attacks had two things in common: China and Supermicrocomputer. The public has never been told about these attacks until now, and Supermicrocomputer says it has also been kept in the dark. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. And turning to earnings, shares of Disney are up 1.5% in early trading. The company returned to profit in the second quarter, fueled by growth in Disney Plus, which now has almost 95 million subscribers. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
High-profile exclusive releases like Pixar's animated movie Soul and the second season of The Mandalorian sustained a big surge in Disney Plus subscribers. Disney's also launching an international streaming service called Star in Western Europe, Australasia, and Singapore later this month. When it comes to theme parks, foot traffic did pick up in the final 3 months of last year, which helped narrow losses in that division. But many parks are and will remain closed until vaccination rates reach certain levels. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you again. S&P futures are lower this morning, down about 10 points, and Dow futures are down 65. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. We're bringing in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Good morning, Amy. More than 9,000 recovering coronavirus patients in New York State were released from hospitals into nursing homes. According to Associated Press, it was under a controversial directive back in March that was scrapped amid criticism. It was accelerating outbreaks. The new number is more than 40% higher than what had been previously released by the state health department. Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration disputes the directive helped spread sickness and death among residents. Meanwhile, are masks here to stay in the U.S.? Dr. Anthony Fauci says they will be here for a considerable amount of time unless COVID infection rates drop significantly.
It might be that we accept the wearing of masks the way some of the Asian countries do, where people don't wear masks all the time.
There's word that then-President Trump was sicker with COVID in October than publicly acknowledged. According to the New York Times, four people with knowledge of the matter say Mr. Trump had extremely low blood oxygen levels and pneumonia. Indoor dining resumes today in New York City. Restaurants can open up to 25% capacity ahead of the Valentine's Day weekend. Many restaurant owners say, though, it is not enough to survive and would like it boosted to 50%. Martin Giugino, the New York man seen being pushed to the ground by Buffalo police during last June's George Floyd-related protests, says he's shocked that the charges against the officers were dropped by the grand jury. Giugino, who is 75, says he spent a month recovering in the hospital from his injuries.
You think I'm breaking the law? Arrest me. Don't push me down. What is that in the training manual?
The two officers remain suspended pending the outcome of an internal affairs investigation. Erie County District Attorney Flynn.
Let's be honest here, okay, as well. Mr. Giugino committed a crime that day, okay? He violated the curfew.
Flynn, however, says he disagrees with the outcome. It is the ending of a symbol of Donald Trump's presidency in New York. The barricades have come down around Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue, and armed guards have departed. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thanks, Michael. Let's check Bloomberg Sports with John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. The Australian Open being played as we speak, but now without fans. They were letting in 30,000 a day, but the UK strain of the virus said to be moving through the area. The government moved to a stage four, which meant only essentials can leave their homes. That includes the tennis players, but not the fans. Serena Williams won her third-round match, so did Naomi Osaka. The Aussie Nick Kyrgios, always considered talented but controversial, he could be on the verge of a big win. He leads Dominic Thiem right now, 2-0. Thiem last year won the U.S. Open. AT&T Golf in Pebble Beach. The American Patrick Cantlay tied the course record at 10-62. He leads by 2 shots. Islanders had 3 different leads on the Penguins, but if Jenny Malkin scored for Pittsburgh, 18 seconds left, that tied the game at 3. And then the other longtime Pittsburgh star, Sidney Crosby, scored in the shootout. The Penguins won 4-3. The NHL has 5 teams not playing right now due to COVID. The Devils, who were supposed to play last night. The Flyers, who have had to postpone their game Sunday with the Rangers. The NHL announced new COVID protocols. It was a week ago that the Mets thought they had free agent pitcher Trevor Bauer. There was a report that he was coming to New York. Instead, there was Bauer yesterday being formally introduced by the Dodgers.
I go into it with an idea that at some point in the process, you'll have like offers on the table where you sit down and you say, okay, I don't know, well, let me look at the offers and whatever. It played out a lot longer than I guess, kind of thought. And I really didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I did know that I wanted to be on a team that had a chance to win a World Series.
And he's joining the team that just won the series. He's going to get $85 million over the next 2 years with L.A. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
Thank you, John. And a programming note, you can tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. Sunday is the Daytona 500. Where is NASCAR headed in another year of COVID? And what about Michael Jordan's venture into racing? We talk about it all with the president of NASCAR, Steve Phelps. That's tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Checking futures now, S&P down 0.25, Dow futures down 0.2%, NASDAQ futures down 0.2%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year, plus the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer, Land Rover Above and Beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And this update brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people. Character, community, partnership, together as one. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Global stocks sliding in subdued trading. Oil futures are falling for a second day. The dollar is strengthening. And futures are lower after the S&P 500 closed at a record yesterday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 71. NASDAQ futures down 25. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.14%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 52 cents at $57.72 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $9.30 at $18.17.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2111 against the dollar. British pound 1.3791. And the yen is at 105. And checking Bitcoin, it's up 1.2% at $47,479. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Lawyers for Donald Trump will begin to present their case today in the former president's second impeachment trial. House impeachment managers wrapped up their emotional presentation centered on chilling video of the Capitol siege. Defense lawyers plan to dispute that Trump did not have anything to do with it. They plan to present about 4 hours of their case before resting. Yoshiro Mori has resigned as the president of the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee following sexist comments implying women talk too much. In the NHL, the Islanders lost to the Penguins in a shootout 4-3. In the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as Michael was just telling you, the impeachment managers have rested their case. Today, Donald Trump's defense team takes the floor in the impeachment trial. Bloomberg News U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins us now with more. Kathleen, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Some Senate Republicans say impeachment managers made a compelling case, but none of them are remarking about the trial until after the defense rests, which was presumably today. Did that testimony over the past few days have any impact?
Well, I think that's an open question. You know, we did see Bill Cassidy, the Republican senator from Louisiana, after the first day of testimony, he said that it was persuasive to him, and so he did vote in favor of essentially proceeding with the trial. Now, whether that translates into some kind of a conviction vote remains to be seen, but I think there is a sense that potentially these jurors have, i.e. the senators, have been watching this testimony very closely, and that minds could have been changed. Now, that being said, the 17 Republican votes they need for a conviction is still a very heavy lift, and I don't think there's a sense that that's likely to happen.
They also seem to have gotten permission from Republican leader Mitch McConnell that just because they voted to not move forward, calling the trial unconstitutional, doesn't mean that they cannot vote to convict. Seems like he was walking sort of a tightrope there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what we've heard from Senator Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, is essentially he's not whipping the vote. He's not telling Republicans that it's important for them to vote against impeachment or important for them to vote for impeachment. I think he's characterizing it more as a conscience vote, which I think in and of itself is telling. You know, Mitch McConnell is someone who has a pretty tight leash on the Republicans in the Senate, and, you know, him opening it up for everyone to vote sort of how they feel is appropriate, I think, is significant, but also it was, of course, politically motivated, because I think if Republicans do vote to acquit Trump, that he's able to, you know, point back at that and say that that was a conscience vote on the part of Republicans.
You mentioned it's a heavy lift, the trial all but certain to end with the former president's acquittal. Why is it so hard for Democrats to convince 17 Republicans to vote to convict?
Well, I think it's a tricky question politically for the Republican Party. You know, if the Republican Party says that Donald Trump essentially caused the riot on January 6th because of his rhetoric, you know, there are a number of Republicans that in the Senate that, you know, either overtly or, you know, implicitly, you know, have supported Trump's rhetoric over the past 4 years. And so I think it becomes then a slippery slope into, from a political standpoint, Democrats arguing that these Republicans, or at least some of them, were implicitly responsible as well. And so I think that there's a tricky thing there. Also, Trump supporters make up a certain proportion of Republican Party support at this stage. And so I think that, you know, Republicans are in a bit of a soul-searching moment where they're trying to figure out how their party goes forward and what elements of Trumpism is still going to be incorporated into that, the degree to which that's going to be a possibility. And I think that this trial puts a lot of those questions into sharp relief, and Republicans, I think, aren't ready to necessarily answer them at this stage.
Now, last night, the president's defense attorney, David Shawn, met for about an hour with some Republican senators who are also jurors, just that's how it's laid out. Is that considered improper, or are Senate trials different from courtroom trials?
Well, Senate trials are different from courtroom trials. That's what's been interesting here is, you know, we've seen people like Ted Cruz say that, you know, the president's actions, in his opinion, don't meet the legal standard for incitement of, you know, but at the same time, you know, nothing about this process is really meeting the legal standard. That's not really what the process is set up to be. And so I think that some Republicans are kind of playing both sides of the coin here, where I think they're going to point to, you know, due process violations and pretend like this is a court trial and use that as an excuse to acquit. But at the same time, the only reason why something akin to what we saw last night was shown meeting with the Republicans, the only reason why that's allowed to happen is because it isn't a court trial. So I think that, you know, there's a bit of a double standard here on both sides.
Okay, we only have about a minute to go here. What do you expect to hear from the defense team today? They've already said that this is only going to take a few hours. How are they going to be so quick about it?
Well, I think that, you know, they're going to essentially, it sounds like, make the argument that, you know, that the House managers haven't proven that Trump's directly responsible, that it would cause a bad precedent, that it's improper to convict a former president who is now a private citizen of this type of a crime, that in and of itself sets a bad precedent. But I think that the fact that they're saying that they're not necessarily going to take up all the time allotted to them might even be a recognition of the degree to which the Democrats have kind of made their case. And I think Republicans know that there's an outcome here that's going to be favorable to them, and they're just interested to get this over and done with.
Yeah, both sides have already said that they want this to move quickly. Thank you so much. Bloomberg News U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. We're going to watch the end of this trial with you. Thanks for your time today. And checking the S&P futures down 0.2%. Dow futures down about 0.2%. NASDAQ futures down 0.15%. COMEX Gold now trading at 18.17. 0.7. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we're going to get some insight into Disney's first quarter earnings. We'll be talking with Tuna Amobi with CFRA. That is coming up later this hour. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Attorneys for Donald Trump present their arguments today in the former president's impeachment trial. Here with more is Nancy Lyons from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
House impeachment managers, including Congressman Ted Lieu, spent their second day of opening arguments painting a picture of Trump as someone who egged on the violence for months.
When you or I make a mistake and something very bad happens, we would show remorse. We would accept responsibility. President Trump didn't do any of that.
Lead impeachment manager, Congressman Jamie Raskin, asked his Senate colleagues if they truly felt Trump would not do it again if given the chance.
Would you bet the lives of more police officers on that? Would you bet the safety of your family on that? Would you bet the future of your democracy on that?
For those who say Trump was exerting his First Amendment rights, Raskin, a constitutional law scholar, says nothing in the Constitution can excuse his betrayal of his oath of office. In Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Nancy. And while we wait for today's latest developments in Washington, we're seeing progress on the stimulus front. A House committee has approved $1,400 payments to millions of Americans. Those checks would be part of President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package.
The president also says the U.S. has finished deals for additional vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. Now there should be enough to vaccinate all Americans by the end of July. Biden made the announcement at the National Institutes of Health in Maryland, where he also blasted former President Trump's response to the pandemic.
He didn't order enough vaccines. He didn't mobilize enough people to administer the shots. He didn't set up a federal vaccine centers where eligible people could go and get their shots.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 48 million COVID vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Turning to Wall Street, Disney's shares are up 1% after the company posted a surge in Disney Plus subscribers. More on those results now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The world's largest entertainment company returned to profit in the latest quarter. Subscribers to the family-oriented video service grew to 94.9 million in the period. That exceeded the 90.7 million average of Wall Street estimates compiled by Bloomberg. Sales and earnings also topped projections. CEO Bob Chapek pointed to the streaming growth as a sign the company's shift away from traditional media is paying off. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures down about 10 points this morning. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Amy. Indoor dining resumes today in New York City. Restaurants can open up to 25% capacity ahead of the Valentine's Day weekend. Many restaurant owners say, though, it is not enough to survive and would like it to be boosted to 50%. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams spoke to ABC 7.
Restaurants are clearly the bellwether of our entire city. And if they're not open, if they're not able to do business, it's going to impact tourism, employment, and the clear ecosystem of our economy.
More than 9,000 recovering coronavirus patients in New York State were released from hospitals and the nursing homes under a controversial directive in March that was scrapped amid criticism. It was accelerating outbreaks. That's according to records obtained by the Associated Press. The new number is more than 40% higher than what had been previously released by the state health department. The gig economy, fueled by Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash, is going back to court to defend their funding of Proposition 22. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter explains.
Prop 22, bankrolled by the companies, allows workers to be classified as independent contractors. Unions and four gig drivers appealed directly to challenge the prop's constitutionality, and the court ruled last week that it needed to work its way up the court system. So now a refiling to do just that, saying that the proposition is unconstitutional and violates specific parts thereof. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
There's word that then-President Trump was sicker with COVID in October than publicly acknowledged. According to the New York Times, four people with knowledge of the matter say Mr. Trump had extremely low blood oxygen levels and pneumonia. There were concerns that officials believed he would need to be put on a ventilator. A wave of winter weather from the northeast to the southwest caused icy conditions and deadly wrecks. In Texas, a 133-car wreck on Interstate 35 near downtown Fort Worth left six people dead. Fort Worth's Deputy Chief Neil Noakes.
The scene we saw today is one really unlike one probably any of us have ever seen, and one we pray to God we never see again.
Several dozen others were taken to area hospitals. Jazz pianist Chick Corea has died. Corea won 23 Grammy Awards and worked alongside Miles Davis and Herbie Hancock. Chick Corea was 79. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. Australian Open officials had been very careful. All the players had to arrive 2 weeks early, stay in quarantine before the tournament began, but they were letting in 30,000 fans a day. No more. A spike due to the UK strain of the virus. There's now a mandatory five-day lockdown in Melbourne. Players are still playing, but now without fans. The Aussie Ash Barty, the women's top seed, was just yesterday asked about how they were dealing with the virus.
We've put a lot of trust in all of the professionals down here to make the right decisions for the right reasons and know that they can run a tournament safely. And I think that's a real bonus for us to be able to have that connection with the fans and to be able to share these moments with them as well. So I think that's a really positive thing, and we just have to know that we've put the trust in the right people to make the right decisions.
On the court, Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka both won in straight sets. Novak Djokovic playing right now against American Taylor Fritz. They are 5-5 in the first set. And the third seed, Dominic Thiem's in trouble, trailing the Aussie Nick Kyrgios 2-1. AT&T Golf, Pebble Beach. First time in 75 years without the amateurs and celebrities. American Patrick Cantlay has the opening round lead, tied the course record with a 62 in Cantlay's previous round 2 weeks ago. He had shot a 61. The Islanders got a point. Can't be happy about their 4-3 shootout loss to Pittsburgh. The Owls had three different leads, led 3-2 until an Evgeny Malkin goal with 18 seconds left. Devils with another postponement last night. The Rangers won't play their game Sunday with Philadelphia. There are three cases on the Flyers. Knicks are in Washington tonight. The Nets begin a five-game road trip tomorrow night at Golden State. Kevin Durant expected back. It'll be his first game against the Warriors since he left them to join the Nets. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
Thank you, John. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Well, the barricades have come down around Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue, and armed guards have departed. Businesses located near the building are happy about the move. One person who works in the area says the police barricade and officers armed with assault rifles by Trump Tower's entrance made it feel like a war zone. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont is keeping Connecticut on a debt diet. He's holding annual general obligation bond issuance to $1.6 billion in the next two fiscal years, according to his budget proposal. Well, Dave Portnoy is the founder of Barstool Sports. He's also a well-known pizza aficionado. Portnoy's created quite a controversy by recently declaring New Haven as the pizza capital of America. One restaurant consultant appeared on Fox News claiming New York is the real pizza capital, and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy's office says New Jersey is the true pizza capital. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, thank you, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Disney posting a surge in streaming subscribers and lower losses at pandemic-crippled theme parks.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Kellogg says it's struggling to meet demand for Frosted Flakes.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the latest UK GDP figures that show 2020 saw the economy suffering its biggest contraction since 1709.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Bruce Springsteen's Super Bowl ad has been pulled from YouTube after news he was charged with DUI in November.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching today, quite a Wall Street debut for Bumble and its CEO, Whitney Wolf Herd. The 31-year-old founder of the dating app where women make the first move is now a billionaire thanks to a 63% gain in Bumble's first day of trading.
I'm just so proud of our team for getting to this day. It's been such a journey. And for those first people that believed in us and subscribed to this radical idea of a woman making the first move, you know, they have been really what drove this home.
Of the over 500 U.S. companies that have gone public over the past year, Bumble is only the third founded by a woman. Other stories we're following in Miami, Mayor Francis Suarez has proposed paying city workers and collecting taxes in Bitcoin. Miami is also exploring investing funds in the world's largest cryptocurrency. He's been courting Silicon Valley investors and tech companies. We've got much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at givetoo.nyc.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures lower this morning with S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 60, NASDAQ futures down about 20. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%, 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.14%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.7% or 38 cents at $57.86 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $5.40 at $18.21.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2108 against the dollar. British pound 1.3791 and the yen 104.97. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, defense lawyers in former President Trump's impeachment trial will present their case today. We'll have more on this in our law brief in a moment. The Republican-controlled Mississippi Senate has voted to ban transgender athletes from competing in girls or women's sports in the state's schools and universities. LGBTQ advocacy group Human Rights Campaign is condemning anti-transgender bills in Mississippi and other states. In the NHL, the Islanders lost to the Penguins in a shootout. In the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. It is 5:48 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Walt Disney returned to profit thanks to Disney Plus subscription growth shooting past estimates with nearly 95 million paid subscribers. Let's talk about it with consumer analyst Tuna Amobi with CFRA. Thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. We'll get right into the success of Disney Plus. Nearly 95 million subscribers. Estimates had it closer to 91 million. It took years for Netflix to get to these numbers. What's the drive here?
Good morning, Amy, and thanks for having me. So, yes, I think Disney Plus is blowing away all expectations here. And I think what's really remarkable is the speed that they are really, accelerating in a little over 1 year of launch. One metric that we find really, interesting is that even though they didn't report it, we sense that there's a fairly high conversion rate of promotional into paid subscriber. That's always something you want to keep an eye on for a new service like that. It's trying to sign up people. And more importantly, the three-pronged direct-to-consumer offerings, which also includes, as you know, Hulu and ESPN Plus, they are really on pace to really accelerate and potentially exceed the guidance the company is looking for, about 300 to 350 million by fiscal 2024. We think they're well on ahead of that pace now. I mean, the affinity for Disney programming is really out of the charts, and what's pretty clear is the COVID-19 lockdown has really accelerated those trends.
So do you think that's sustainable? What has to happen for Disney to continue this?
Well, I think what has to happen, Amy, is for them to continue to, roll out the premier and outstanding content that they have across their properties, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar. And you see the launch of Disney, the star-branded Disney streaming offering that is just, gaining some traction as we speak. They're going to be launching a couple dozen markets in the next couple of weeks, accelerating from there. And you mentioned Netflix. Remember, Netflix right now is in 190 countries. Disney Plus is just a little over two dozen countries as we speak. So there is tremendous runway, we think, for them to ultimately potentially catch up to Netflix and become one of the winners in this rapidly evolving space.
And Tuna, very briefly, Disney's theme parks, as you said, took a hard hit from the pandemic. How much is this going to help make up for that?
I think the theme parks actually, ironically, came in better than expected. And even the CEO alluded to the fact that the vaccines development is going to be the huge swing factor. So we think the parks, as much as anyone else out there, is really well positioned to benefit from the widespread acceleration of vaccines. They've taken some really decent protocols, and the consumers seem to be responding to those. And we're seeing that already in the attendance and potentially significant pent-up demand that we know the parks will benefit from.
All right. Consumer analyst Tuna Amobi with CFRA, thank you. Always a pleasure. And Disney shares are up 1.3% in early trading. Karen.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is 5:51 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Back to our top story now. Donald Trump's lawyers present their defense today in a second impeachment trial, and we're told they may only need one day for their arguments. For more on the trial so far and what we may hear from the defense today, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Jimmy Garulli, a professor at Notre Dame Law School.
According to Bloomberg sources, Trump's impeachment team intends to lean heavily on his use of the words peacefully and patriotically in the speech. Does that mixed message help the defense?
Well, I think you got to take that statement. You need to examine that statement in its totality. And so you can't examine it in isolation. We know that the president at the rally before the assault on the Capitol, he spoke for approximately 70 minutes. And during that 70-minute presentation, the word peaceful was used once by the president. But at the same time, during that 70-minute speech by the president, he used attack, he used, you got to be strong. I mean, he used language that conveyed to his followers that he wanted them to act in a very aggressive, forceful way to stop the certification of the election. So I think it's a relatively weak argument to point to one word in a 70-minute speech and say, oh, that vindicates the president. Therefore, he never intended for his followers to act in a violent or aggressive way. When the other evidence, which I think is quite overwhelming, is to the contrary. And so I think the president's lawyers are going to do the best they can. Of course, they're going to seize on that one term or that one sentence in the 70-minute speech. They're going to try to make a big deal out of it. But I think that the counter evidence imploring his followers to act in this violent way really offsets this claim that his intent was only for a peaceful demonstration.
Another defense tactic reportedly will be to play clips of Democrats using words like fight and calling for protests of Trump's actions to argue that he's being held to a double standard for his rhetoric.
Yeah, I think it's a false equivalency, and I think it's kind of a common defense tactic. You know, when the facts aren't in your favor, when the law isn't in your favor, then you try to direct the jury's attention away from the defendant's conduct, away from the defendant's actions to someone else. And so you'll see this, you know, the defense lawyers will blame the police. You know, it wasn't my client that committed the crime. Look at what the police officers did. And so I think this falls along those lines. It's a diversion tactic.
And that's Jimmy Garulli, a professor at Notre Dame Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Amy.
Thank you, Karen. 2020 was a year marked by the pandemic, political turmoil, and the fight for racial justice. As we celebrate Black History Month, let's also remember the push for racial equality that helped define the past year. Throughout the protests, demonstrations, and calls for change, Bloomberg Radio spoke to many prominent figures about the issue. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us again now to bring us more in this special report.
We all remember that old Charles Barkley commercial.
I am not a role model. I'm not paid to be a role model.
Doug Whaley, former executive in the NFL and XFL, knows players today believe that they don't have to just shut up and dribble, but could be the driving force for change in the world.
Players today are realizing that they can be role models, and they're accepting that challenge. They're accepting that they are in a position to influence this world and future generations to strive to do better. So I think there's nothing but positive for them being able to realize that they can not only swing the needle, but move people in directions that make this world a better place.
And here steps in NBA All-Star LeBron James, considered one of the leaders in the NBA, not only on the court, but off it as well. He says silence for him is just not an option.
I will continue to point out things that I know is wrong. If I see it, not only socially, but also with cameras in my face. And I will also continue to lead by example as a model citizen, as a Black man growing up in America. So my mission stays the same.
He knows the mantle he holds does not come easy. It will come with challenges, but he's ready.
Being a leader is not about when you decide to do it. It's every single day. If you want to be a leader or you call yourself a leader, it has to be every single day that you wake up and you jump out of your bed. And people are going to follow you then. People are going to understand you and understand that you're not perfect, but they know you are true to them.
And as LeBron James said, he's not perfect. But there is no question he is a leading voice that will be heard in society as we celebrate Black History Month. Michael Barr, Bloomberg Radio.
Right, Michael, thank you. And we do see this headline crossing the Bloomberg with NHK reporting that Japan will approve Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures down 21. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.15%. The yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil's down 0.6% or 34 cents at $57.90 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.33% or $5.90 at $18.20.90 an ounce. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.